Morning, everyone.
Just make the mic is so loud. Okay, thank you. Just be yeah, close. Thank you.
Is that good?
Yes, thank you. I feel like
Morning, how we doing?
I just want to get your opinion on the tush push in the past. You've expressed a player safety concern about it. What are your feelings now, I guess a month since the combine?
Yeah, I mean, I feel, I think similar to how I felt at the combine. I've done, you know, I've dove deeper into more of the data on it and, you know, just thought more about it as well. And my position hasn't really changed at all. You know, I feel where I'm most concerned is, even though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players. First and foremost.
What are you seeing with the health and safety of the players? Since, as you said, there is really no data to say there's injuries. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you get in, it's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, you know, being asked to execute that type of play, that's where my concern comes in.
Do you think you'll continue to run the play? If it remains and you have concerns about the safety, do you think you'll continue to run it? Because I think you ran it quite a bit last year.
A form of it, right? A form of it. So I think that's it's a loose term, really, in terms of what defines a tush push. So there's different forms of it out there. I know we are one of the teams that people identify that run it. That's fair. You know, there's other teams as well. So I just look, we're gonna always act in a way that's best for the health and safety of the players, and I think that's the responsible way to go.
Sean, there's
no actual health and safety data showing that there's any problem with it after we've seen something snaps specifically in Philadelphia. And how much more data do you need? Is it the hope that there's going to be injury that those would be opposed to it?
Well, number one, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to get too deep into that situation there in terms of how much data, how much sample. I don't think that's really always the best way to go. I think is when you're looking at, there's other data out there that suggests when you're in a posture like we're talking about, that can lead to serious injury. And I think being responsible and proactive in that regard is the right way to go.
John, there's a lot of people who think it's super interesting that your team is so good at it, yet you have this stance. Can you say why it's important for you to take off your coaching hat and put on your competition committee hat?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm tasked to do as a committee member, is to do what's best for the overall game and growing the game the right way. And yes, we do this, a form of this play, and we do it well. I believe us in Philadelphia, who both run a form of this play and do it well, I believe both teams can be just as good in a traditional form of a quarterback sneak, and they've shown that over the years. Philadelphia and us, as both teams have shown that, and that's also partly why I believe what I believe.
John, that's what I was wondering as well. How much, if you tweak the play to where there's not a shove, it's more traditional, how much of the effectiveness are you losing in that situation?
If you
no longer push, if you tweak it so that you're not shoving, how much of the effectiveness of the play do you lose?
The numbers suggest very little, if any, and sometimes the numbers actually go the other way. So to me, again, we as coaches, this is the NFL, so this is the best of the best, and we've adjusted over the years and we'll continue to adjust, and that's what's good for our game.
Sean, what kind of player are the Cowboys getting in Kaiir Elam, and why didn't it work in Buffalo?
Kaiir, you know, has put in a lot of time. He was a hard worker for us. You know, he had opportunities for us and had some good moments, and I'm sure moments he wants back. And at the end of the day, you know, we're happy for Kaiir and his family.
As a defensive backs coach by trade, what do you think of the proposal that you eliminate an automatic first down for holding or illegal contact?
Yeah, that's a tricky one there. I think on the surface, there'd be some things we would need to work through to make that a little bit more specific to the game right now. There's some things you could do to kind of navigate if that rule goes through on the whole, right? So generally speaking, I've heard of some adjustments maybe to the proposal that I think are some good ideas. But more conversations, I think, are important as we go.
So when you talk about the posture for the touch push being the potential danger, how is the posture different for that play than just a regular QB sneak?
Well, I mean, you look at the film and tell me what you see. So like I said, there's different forms of it. I'm not going to get specific to the teams, but there's different forms of it. And I just believe that that posture that I've seen is not, and the doctors talk about that. And so I'm going off of some of what they're saying as well, too. So that posture is not a healthy posture to be in. And then when you add force potentially to that posture, that's concerning for me in terms of the health and safety of the players.
Just to be clear, is it the posture of the offensive line, or is it the posture of the defensive line next to that the players
are looking at? Yeah, I mean, when one team takes a certain, when one side of the ball takes a certain posture, the other side has to adjust to fit the situation.
Sean, when it relates to this specific rule and how it's written, I hear you loud and clear on the posture. Does the rule as it's written prohibit or ban or take out that posture that seems to be sort of the crux of the argument against it? Because as I understand the rule, it doesn't seem like it takes care of that posture.
Yeah, I mean, now we're getting into the weeds a little bit here. So the rule, look, the proposal from Green Bay, is that what you're referring to? You know, it takes away the force, right? That is, traditional quarterback sneaks have been around for a long time. I think that's the context of it that's important. And then, the pushing of it adds the force piece, which again is, I think that exponentially raises my concern. And that's, again, I'm not a doctor. That's just what I'm going off of.
John,
I've heard that question.
What are the questions and what's the answers like?
Well, I don't have that answer. That's a I think you got to go to the source of the proposal.
Sean, your reaction to seeing Stephon Diggs back in the division, and what kind of player the Patriots get?
Yeah, happy for Steph. I know he went through that serious injury last year. That's tough to watch.
He's a great player, and he'll be a great addition to their team. I mean, New England's obviously loading up, and they've done a great job. They've got, Vrabes there now, Josh McDaniels, two really good coaches. I have a lot of respect for.
Matt Collins. Kind of player they get.
Yeah, Mac as well. I mean, again, Mac was a big glue guy for us, right? He not only played offense, he played special teams, did it at a high level. I thought he really made an impact on our team and our culture last year.
Yeah, Coach John, what have been some of the keys to you all building out your pass rush?
What are the keys for us to do that?
Yeah, having built it out and being able to attack from that posture.
Well, that's a point of emphasis for us, and like it is probably for most teams of – building the defensive line to where we need to have it. That's a position that we value greatly.
What do you look at with what you've missed from Mac regarding core four special teams, and who on your team do you identify, or is that something that materializes?
Well, we're probably, with Mac not being here, we're probably down a big piece in that regard. We look for these special teams aces, the Taiwan Joneses, the Matt Collins, and guys that can be real force players for us on special teams, four core guys, or dominant in two of the phases perhaps. With Mac, leaving, we're going to have to fill that void.
What are your thoughts on, in a lot of organizations, there's core four guys who are there, and they're fixtures. You've kind of circled through, and we can go with Tyler Matakevich. You've lost him recently too. Are you a believer of that, of like having them there and keeping them and having that foundational piece?
I am. I think that's an area that we need to address. Get back to addressing more this year. The Matakeviches of the world, Taiwan Jones, Saran Neals, we've had some of those big time pieces, and I think it's important with potentially where this kickoff rule is going to go, that we continue to have those pieces, because special teams is not going anywhere. It's in the game, and it's here to stay.
Sean, what does the next step for Greg Rousseau look like?
I'm sorry.
What does the next step for Rousseau look like?
Yeah, happy for Greg, first and foremost, and his family's worked hard. And again, re-signing our own is a good first step. Now it's about how do we continue to improve our roster? How do we continue to get ourselves where we need to be overall as a football team? And for Greg, in this case, it's really, I would say, consistency and the nastiness that's got to come with playing defensive line on a consistent basis.
Sean, in the conversation with Brandon told us yesterday, is Josh Palmer has a lot of untapped potential. As a coaching staff, how do you find somebody's potential?
How do we find Josh?
How do you unlock it?
How do you unlock it to develop? Well, again, I think it starts with the culture that we have and the foundation and how we get guys to become the best versions of themselves through team messaging, things like, hey, how we handle the schedule, our locker room, led by Josh, of course, among others, right? So I think that's the start. And then how we handle our strength and conditioning program, how we handle the training room and what we expect of the players, giving them the sports science edge that we think we can give them. I mean, that's all kind of the launching pad, if you will, to helping guys really unlock, as you asked about in this case, Josh.
Is there a specific example over the course of the years for your coaching staff where there's been a player you've been super proud of, but maybe you got them and they haven't quite reached that yet, and then you saw the best version of themselves in either Buffalo or before you guys in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, just the one that people always talk about is Micah and Jordan, right? You know, when you look back at when we got them in the free agent process and kind of where they were in their careers and the roles that they had played up to that point, and then what we asked them to do and then what they became, really, that's a credit to them as well. It's always both, right? The player and the culture, the system, if you will. I think our coaches do a phenomenal job of that, right? And that's why it's important to have the right coaches in the building and guys that can teach, can develop and inspire players to become what those two became.
Sean, you said the Lions proposal for the automatic first down, there's been tweaks to the proposal?
No, not tweaks to the proposal, just ideas around the proposal.
Okay. What it's either the first down or not, I mean, what could you possibly change?
I'm not going to get into that. Those weren't my ideas. Those are just things I've heard, some of the kind of scuttlebutt around the idea.
Okay.
Ideas around the rule proposal that I think, if adopted, would potentially help it move forward even more. And that's up to the process now.
One of the other ones being discussed is the playoff seeding and the division, whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm a big proponent for divisional play and division rivals that have to play every year and the power in winning the division. We talked about a potential, the outliers of some of the losing teams with losing records that also win the division and get them getting a home game versus not. So I think that's a potential that at least makes me a little bit more have an appetite for passing that proposal and buying into that way of thinking. So, yeah.
Sean, how important is it for both Javon Solomon and Dwayne Carter to take that next step this year for how the defensive line looks right now?
It's going to be big. We're going to be probably pretty young because of, two of the suspensions that we had with the guys, with Michael and Larry O there. So we're going to need some young players to step in and develop in a hurry. I thought DC got off to a good start last year. Then he had the injury, of course, and Solly, showed different things throughout the course of the year, some special teams-wise, some defensively at the line of scrimmage, and they'll be counted on big time to come back this year and help us.
Sean,
sorry. How do you navigate the suspensions as a coach? Because they're going deep into the season, and you want these guys to eventually be significant players for you, but they're not going to be getting those reps because then you got get guys ready for Sunday, so they're getting scraps.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Tim, right? Because they're going to start off, the spring with this. It's important we get them the reps they need there to develop their foundation, having been, really first-time players with us in the system. And then they're going to get them again in training camp. But then at some point, to your point, we have to start to blend the other guys who are going to be playing the first six games into the equation. So, and then with them, they're not going to be around the building for, said time. So then it's, hey, and they're wired this way, Michael and Larry O both, of staying in shape, It's just hard to do when you're not playing football, right? You can stay in shape, going, you know, doing your sprints, all that type of stuff, weight room shape, but football shape is totally different. And then the familiarity with the system, and then just getting into a rhythm overall. So that's going to be a challenge. And when they do come back, you know, to come back and find their rhythm as quickly as possible, because the league will be in a rhythm at that point.
How do you do it?
I think I don't think there's an easy answer. I really don't. But building them up the right way, at least with the knowledge of the system, and then getting them in shape, and then they're going to, you know, luckily they're both wired that way to handle it on their own. But again, I think there's going to be, it's not going to be perfect. I can tell you that it's not.
Sean, at the competition committee, what kind of voice does Stephen Jones have in that room, and to earn his respect as a co-chairman, what kind of influence does he have?
He's been phenomenal. He really has. It's my first time around Stephen, and I have a ton of respect for him and how he handles himself in that room. And you know, he's one thing is, you know, with where he's been in this league for so many years, and how he respects the other voices that are in that room, including my own. I respect the heck out of him and how he handles himself and what he stands for in terms of growing the game.
Sean, the Niners have obviously lost a lot of talent this offseason, in part because they've got to pay a quarterback. They've got to pay a quarterback a lot of money. You've obviously been in the same situation and had to make concessions with your roster due to the cap. The Niner fans think the sky is falling and, you know, the announcement. Has you been through that process? Have you ever had, like, geez, how are we going to do this?
It makes for a tough budget, I can tell you that. We're fortunate we have a really good quarterback. They have a really good quarterback as well. Both quarterbacks are different, but when you have good quarterbacks, which everybody is looking for, then you've got to kind of pay the piper, right? So in our case, we've paid Josh, and rightfully so, and so then you have to budget around that, and it's not easy. I think that's where you come down to building through the draft. You got to hit on the draft picks, and those are key aspects of building it the right way.
Do you ever want to go for the draft? When you're in that situation, is the pressure heightened? You know, some of these guys might really have to step in and play.
Well, I think the pressure in the league is there every year. Quite honestly. So, you know, the players, again, that's if you're drafting the right players, you can fill most of those voids. And again, that's, I think, how you build the right way. And so you can only have so many A-level players on your team. That's where guys stepping up, guys need to step up from the bottom third of your roster and develop. And that's where I think where coaching comes in and helps as well.
Sean, over the years, the NFL has instituted a lot of things to diversify leadership ranks, from rule to incubator programs. I know you participate in the Women's Forum. The president has issued executive orders that sort of target some of these programs, including at private companies. I just wonder if you worry that some of these initiatives or programs could be rolled back and what the consequences of that would be.
Yeah, I stay out of the politics end of things. You know, I'm really just into coaching our football team and leading our football team. That said, I think being aware of those things is important, right, in terms of where it could go and how we need to make sure we're doing the right thing. That's the key, is every day trying to do the right thing. Yeah, very impressed with Bo Nix, especially for a rookie quarterback. Not surprised that he led his team to the playoffs. And, you know, we were fortunate. We played a pretty good game that day. And that's a hard deal when you're going in there as a playoff quarterback, a rookie at that, and then having to go on the road in that type of environment. So I'm sure he's going to he's destined for greatness the way he showed in this full season. Not surprised again. No, he's a phenomenal coach. I have a ton of respect for him as a head coach, but also as a offensive play caller.
Another touch question for you, and then I promise I'll leave you alone in the Navy.
I saw you and Howie Roseman and John Ferrari and Sean McVay in the hallway yesterday having an animated conversation. I believe it was about that proposal. Can you take me inside that conversation with you guys were hashing out there?
Yeah, so let me set that straight. It was not an animated conversation, I can promise you that. It's just you've got two or three passionate guys, coaches that, and in this case, Howie, a GM, that are sharing their thoughts. So we have a lot of respect for each other. We, all of us, go back a long time. So we're all three of us are about doing what's best for the game.
Yeah. Have you heard from any teams, just because you sit on that competition committee, I would consider you an expert on this, have you heard from any teams in those conversations that they're just not happy with the way the proposal written as it is, like with the reasons given for it? Has that sentiment come up?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't say a ton. It's that usually when there's proposals written up, you have people who don't like how they're written. Every last proposal I've been around. So the hard thing is, hey, why don't you sit down and write the proposal yourself, right? If you have a better idea. So let's be solution oriented. I think that's the right approach.
Do you think it will have to be written?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Thanks so much.
What's your best method of keeping a roster team competitive during the years where you might have to have some cost cutting, like salary cap, and doing every year?
Well, I mean, you got to build through the draft. That's what you got to hit on is the draft, and then developing the players. I think we've done a great job of that in terms of having that track record, that history. And but if you're paying a player, in this case for us, our quarterback, and rightfully so, then you've got to make sure you're hitting on the draft. And I mean, free agency is what it is, regardless of your budget. But at the end of the day, the draft is the most important thing.
Sean, seeing how what Philly did in that Super Bowl defense, how much does that mean to shape your thinking? That kind of takes off.
Yeah, you get continued reminders. I mean, that's always been my philosophy, is to build up front. You guys know I've talked about that for years, and you know, putting together that type of manpower on both fronts is huge.
What do you think you have on Joey Bosa?
Well, excited to have Joey. I think the legit piece is the concern on the durability. He hasn't, you know, completed a full season in some time. This past season, I think, was the most games he had played. Listen, it's a change of scenery for Joey. We're excited to have him and his family. You know, we know what he can do. The number one thing is going to be trying to keep him healthy for us.
Plan in place, I guess.
Well, so just really starting off, you know, I sent a text to, I think it was the day after we signed Joey, was just, you know, our training room, our sports science department, our weight room, and making sure we're getting out in front as much as we can on this, in the communication with Joey. And meeting Joey, he was phenomenal, and you know, seems very open to some of the thoughts that those departments have already. So you know, we're looking forward to working together.
Sean, in the draft this year, it looks like there's a lot of three techniques that are going to come out early. Is that becoming more of a trend for colleges, spread offenses, prioritizing that position on defense, or are you seeing those guys transition to the NFL maybe at an earlier rate?
I don't know if that's a trend necessarily. I think a lot of players are doing that, right, overall, all positions. I think it's just more of, you know, you're seeing, I guess, the emphasis placed on defensive line play more than anything, and that's probably what's, I guess, luring some of them out early.
It feels like a lot of, I mean, at least in the Super Bowl, we're seeing like game-wrecking three techniques that break through at a very pivotal time. Are NFL teams following that by building inside out on the D-line?
Well, I think it's no surprise that you're seeing game-wrecking three techniques in the Super Bowl. I think that's just speaks to the importance of the position. And when you have a player like that and what they can do and how they can help get your team to that game, and I think that's that again is the importance of the position overall. Oh, where do you want to start? No, I just think it's, you know, core beliefs, core philosophy, and then what the offensive coordinator or offensive coordinator candidate brings to the table and how you can you're never going to totally blend those ideas because everyone sees the game just slightly different, no matter how closely you're aligned. But making sure that that there is enough of a alignment, if you will, to come together and form one system.